ready? Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Veterinary Roundtable, the podcast where we answer your veterinary-related questions while having some fun along the way. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to leave us a review on your podcast provider of choice. And if you have any feedback to offer to improve the Veterinary Roundtable, please let us know. Because we are moving up. Moving on up.
We have two more.
Do you guys know that show, Moving On Up?
Yeah.
No, I've heard it.
She's going to say no because she didn't. Thank you. Yeah. She didn't even know who Mr. Rogers' neighborhood was.
What?
What?
Yeah.
You don't know Mr. Rogers?
I'm young, but I know that one.
Maybe if I saw something.
Maybe we should sing it for you.
Wait, can you put Mr. Rogers' neighborhood on the flat screen?
That'd be great if we could just be like, look at this.
I can't think of how it starts.
I don't remember.
Won't you be my neighbor?
Yeah.
No, you don't know that?
Do you know the Teletubbies?
I mean, I never watched it, but I know what Teletubbies
would be her genre. Pink,
yeah.
Okay.
Those were after me.
You think they were after you?
I was Oswald the Octopus.
Who?
They were before you, you mean.
Who's Oslo?
You came after you came after the Teletubbies.
I said Oslo.
No.
Yeah.
Well,
I watched the Teletubbies.
Right? I mean, like, they were older by the time
I heard about them when I was in my teens.
Right. So they were there before you.
Yeah.
My thing was, I liked Barney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barney was my thing.
You know who Barney is, right?
Yes, I do.
The big purple dinosaur.
Clean up. Everybody.
Oh, my God. That was my favorite song ever.
Everybody do your share.
I was never much of a TV kid.
We sang that all the time.
I just like Oswald the Octopus. I named my bunny Oswald.
Hey Arnold.
Really old. Yeah.
We got Hey Arnold, Cat Dog.
No.
Cat Dog's a good one.
I was into like the iCarly and stuff when I was a little older. Big Time Rush, Victorious.
What about Rugrats?
Yeah, I watched
that. Oh, Rugrats.
I know
amazing.
What it is, but I never watched it.
Oh my God, Rugrats were hilarious.
Okay.
Okay, so we're up. We're up there. We're getting up there in the podcast.
I'm not well cultured.
In the reviews. So we're very happy about that because
we're going
Devin was just asking the other day about what was going to happen to her. So
she really wants it to happen, so please make it happen.
So
that didn't
who
happen.
Always wins, the tortoise or the hare?
The tortoise.
Are you calling me a tortoise?
The rhyme thing. Right? Doesn't the tortoise win? Isn't that like a whole...
Yeah, that's the irony behind it.
That's the irony.
She's talking about a tortoise and a hare.
Okay. Yeah.
What am I in
it's
the
a veterinary
equation?
Podcast. Okay.
I also didn't ask a few days ago.
I know you didn't. I was just saying that.
Go with it.
Okay, so we're up to 149 on Spotify, 47 on Apple Podcasts.
Nice.
What's up with that? Our goal is 100.
100 on Apple.
I figured Apple would be more popular than Spotify.
I know.
That blows my mind.
Oh, wait. No, I actually...
Is it for free?
I don't have Apple. It's for free on both.
Oh.
I think.
Yeah. Could be. Yeah.
I don't use
Usually
that.
You don't pay for podcasts.
Harrison, give us a thumbs up if it's for free.
Well, it's probably just to do with ads.
Thumbs up.
The thumbs up. Okay.
We can't see his face.
I don't know, man.
So, I'm Dr. King.
I'm Courtney Allen.
I'm Devin Fortune.
I'm Dr. Duckwall.
It's nice to see you
Welcome.
Guys.
Welcome.
And does anybody, did you want to, you wanted to ask the question.
What
about
question?
Our scrubs. About our scrubs.
No, you did.
You did. Didn't you say you
no,
wanted
I
to?
No, I didn't.
If you watch the podcast.
You said if you watch the podcast, you get a high five.
No, that would be me.
Okay.
Are we doing it?
Go for it.
All righty. If you happen to watch the podcast, because it is available for viewing on the YouTube, you have to figure out what is new besides our set, because we announced that last week, or whatever week that was.
Yep.
So if you guess right,
You get a high five.
We'll give you a shout out.
We'll give you a shout out.
We'll give you a virtual high five and a shout out.
Yes.
We'll all give it to you simultaneously at the same time. So we will check to see who comments
Kinda like
first.
Kind of like this. Ready, guys?
Bazinga.
Bazinga.
All right. That's awesome. That's awesome.
No hints, but we are on fire today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're not supposed to make it easier.
Oh, somebody get the water because he's on fire.
We are hot tamales. Yes.
Oh gosh. Okay, so we had some inquiries.
We had some inquiries. I don't know. Okay, so here's the difference between Emily and I, Dr. King and I. I read it and I was like,
"What are you laughing about?" Okay. Hold on, Devin's asking a question.
I would pronounce what it inquiry.
Inquiry. This brings up a good point. You do say things differently. Like, I'm not you. I mean,
inquiry
people in general.
Inquiry.
Yeah.
I've never heard inquiry. Sounds like you're adding letters, but I mean, I'm sure you're correct.
Listen, I am a really good speller.
Let's look it up
so
on Google.
I was in Spell Bowl.
Everybody says everything.
I was in Spell Bowl, okay.
Okay, so inquiry.
And I have a ribbon.
Where's your ribbon?
Inquiry would be spelled with the
I-N-Q-U-I-R-Y. Inquiry.
That was really good spelling bee. Like,
it's also on the paper, etiquette. So I don't
know. Use it in a sentence.
Well, I told you I've been through it.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That was really good. Like spelling bee etiquette.
What's the word?
Wait, we skipped over the introductions.
You break up the word in syllables. What am I looking for?
We did miss a part.
You break up the word in syllables. What is that? Syntax? Syntax?
No. That sounds like a drug. Like when on the commercials. Syntax.
Listen, I'm call homeschooling a child syntax. Right now. I know.
I think
I don't teach English.
I think syntax is like the format of sentences.
You're probably right again.
Doesn't it sound like a prescription medication? What is medication, the word?
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Well, we're supposed to talk about our event tonight.
I think everyone's
inquiries.
Wait, okay. First of all, we didn't discuss the changes.
Wow.
In the podcast.
Wow. Everybody has a lot to say. Okay. All right.
One thing at a time.
Okay. Regroup. Okay.
Regroup. Yep. Let's talk about the changes to. Go ahead, Devin.
Going forward, we will be having weekly episodes and guest episodes once a month.
So that is really important. We totally skipped over that. Good point.
Yeah. Yeah. So you'll be seeing a lot more of us.
That's right.
Or hearing
more of us.
Yes. Yeah. But exciting things coming.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. That's good.
Okay.
What's next?
What does everyone have planned for the rest of the day?
I don't know, Courtney. What are you doing?
What are you doing, Courtney?
Are you still cold?
I'm going to bingo.
No way I'm going to bingo.
No way.
You guys are
Where are you guys going to bingo?
I'm going to bag bingo.
It's designer bag bingo.
Designer bag bingo. And you know I'm going to try and win a bunch of bags.
Heck yeah. You know, you win designer bags like Louis Vuitton, Gucci.
If I win something, I'll give it to you. Where is it at?
So my mom goes every year. So you buy a table or you can split a table with someone and then you sell the seats. So like my mom's going, my mother-in-law, my aunt, two of my mom's friends, and we all sit at the same table. And then if you win, you get a designer bag and they're real.
Where is this at?
It's Carmel. In Carmel. It was event center.
Yeah, okay. It was somewhere else last year, but it's not cheap. The tables are not cheap, but I love bingo.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. It's fun. You just get to play obviously round after round.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
So hopefully it's not just like a one and done.
Like if the way I've done it before is like there's a round and then whoever wins that round, you get a raffle basket or whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, best of luck, ladies.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Wow. We're going to be rocking our Louis.
I expect poses and pictures.
Did you dress up your table in spring theme?
My mom is decorating it. I'm supposed to go with her, but I don't know if we'll be done here soon enough. Yeah. But she's decorating it.
You know what that sounds like? A great opportunity for content. Another thing that we're going to be trying to create is social media pages for the Veterinary Roundtable.
Yes.
Working on it. Mm-hmm.
We are.
So behind the scenes of what we do and what we talk about is actually going to be on said outlets.
Yeah.
Which means you'll get to see even more of us.
We already have some videos queried.
Yep, we do.
They might be too graphic. I don't know.
Nah.
It's veterinary medicine.
Yeah.
If you're watching it, you got to know what you're watching.
We can put an emoji on the graphic spots.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we're ready for the inquiries.
Inquiries.
Okay. Wow.
Inquiries from the last episode.
Yeah. I was taking this as like a dig. But Dr. King was like, no, they're just sharing information. So that's just the difference between us. I'm like, we said something wrong. They're coming at us.
Negative Nancy.
Yep. Positive Patty.
Positive Patty.
Coming at you.
They're from at Ricky Schroeder.
Yep. So number one, you should watch the podcast from last week if you want to understand what these are about. Okay. So from Ricky, I have had a female feline patient with urethral obstruction.
Yes. So have I.
Right. And we also had... Dr. Dudley had a dog female mm-hmm. get obstructed, which was really weird too. So it's possible, I guess, is the point.
Yes.
It's just as much not less. How many have you had in your career?
Two.
I haven't had any so far.
Right. Yes. And I mean, we unobstructed her. It was fine. I mean, it was not, mm-hmm. it was just annoying, but it wasn't like anything bad happened.
Yeah.
But
makes it a lot harder.
That's the reason why you run the catheter in a cystotomy retrograde, normal grade, because.
Yep.
You may flush something down there. That's one way you'll end up with something in the urethra of a female. But then I guess you could see this person's probably talking specifically that the patient presented as a blocked female patient.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
So
passing urinary catheters in females are, especially dogs, pain in the rear.
Yeah. Ugh. It's no fun.
Nope. Okay.
Second number two. Second number, number two. That doesn't make any sense. Okay. Never heard of cystotomy along with deobstructing a cat. Recently, I saw a cat on social media have a permanent cystotomy with a port the owner drained and kept clean. I wonder if that will become a common option. They do make permanent cystotomies in production goats that have bladder stones and obstruction concerns.
I didn't know that was a
thing.
Well, yeah. I think what he's talking about is a urethrostomy.
Oh, I see.
Right? In a goat, like in a male. So like if you had a male dog and he was obstructed and you couldn't relieve the obstruction because of the os penis.
Yeah.
Then you might end up just making an open urethrostomy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right, and they're just peeing out of that opening.
Yeah.
Not out of the tip of the penis.
So is it like a PU surgery?
Yeah.
Or
but
kind
you don't
of?
Take away any of the anatomy.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay.
You're just opening. You're just leaving an opening.
I see.
It's
okay.
Like a salvage procedure.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what...
I kind of remember it from school.
Yeah.
But male goats are really, really bad for this stuff. Like we saw a lot in large animal hospital.
Another reason not to have a goat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, and what is
it? Into the first point.
No, oh, deobstructing a cat with his. Well, I mean,
we
yeah.
stabilize the cat. We don't go straight to a cystotomy. But if we look and see all that crud in there, you don't have to. I guess that's the other point is. But I learned coming with and working alongside you that usually those just go hand in hand because eventually you might end up there.
There's a mm-hmm. reason they block.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you have
right.
to fix
because
that reason so they don't
the
reblock
stones.
When
right.
you pull the eucath.
Yeah. As soon as you pull it, they're just going to reobstruct.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't have enough time, I guess, to leave the urethra open long enough such that the diets would dissolve the stones.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you can't leave the urethra in for weeks at a time.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the
that's
catheter.
A good point.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's why we end up doing them a lot more frequently than what we used to.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yep. All right. You guys want to do number three?
Sure. I got it. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Recent WVC DCM update, any dog on grain-free boutique exotic ingredient diets is recommended to have cardiac BNP testing as a screening, and if they do have DCM secondary to diet, there can be improvement slash resolution if early in disease with switching diets.
Good to know. So yeah. WVC, that must have been a new announcement.
Yeah. And that's
smart, though.
Because what I was reading was that if they get DCM, then you have to start treating it as DCM.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that there can be improvement or resolution is...
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I think you'd have to catch it very early.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the problem is that what you're screening them once a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like what's happening the other 364 days of the, right. like, you know, what's to say that your proBNP is in the normal range
right
this month and next month,
mm-hmm.
but yet you're going to wait entire another year to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why they say it's so hard once you find it to reverse it.
Yeah.
I suppose if you just got lucky and
found
it
away.
Like right away.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not sure.
So
okay,
but yeah, that's cool.
We made
thanks
a
for,
video on DCM with grain-free diets in the past few days. Dr. Ham, didn't she?
She's Ham,
yeah,
did
on
Ham.
The All-Star
yeah.
Veterinary.
Yeah, she just did
talk.
A little blurb about it, like talk about
watch.
It.
Okay, cool.
Okay, shout outs.
Okay, shout outs.
Shout it out. One thing you do. You,
mm-hmm. One more time.
What's doing right in the world?
In veterinary right. medicine.
In veterinary
I guess
medicine.
You could do the whole world.
Yeah, we could, but meh.
Okay.
I had a really good one last time. I don't have a good one this time. I don't even have one this time yet.
I kind of honestly think of him on the spot. I'll be Harrison's very honest with you.
Us.
Oh.
You said what?
I said I kind of think of him on the spot. She just said Harrison's texting us.
Oh. It's hard for Harrison to talk to us. He's all the way over on the other side of the room. Yeah. What did he say? Tell us.
One moment.
What did our production manager say?
He's on the clear opposite side of the studio from us, behind a whole bunch of monitors, so we can't see him. Hello? Okay,
yes.
Okay. He sent us another inquiry.
Oh.
Oh, we're just switching all the way around.
Breaking news. This happened last time. I love this.
Okay, breaking news. Hit it.
It applies to the DCM convo. Says from, I don't know. Okay, from Vital Vet Nutrition on Instagram. As a nutritionist, I respectfully disagree and think it's far more nuanced than that. And that formulation and quality control is way more important than avoiding ingredients. Also, if we are going to oversimplify and say stay away from grain-free completely, then a lot of veterinary therapeutic diets fall into that very broad and non-specific category. So what theoretical novel protein diets are we going to recommend to our patients? I think that we can give ever more specific and better advice to our clients and patients.
Ooh, good note.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yes. Okay, wait. I don't know.
Well, we appreciate your inquiry.
I can't read without blowing this up. So hold on 1 second. Vital Vet Nutrition. That's the person who wrote it.
Mm-hmm. Vital Vet Nutrition.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Is that a food brand?
No. She's a nutritionist.
I was just curious. Oh, okay.
So this is awesome because she needs to call in so we can pick her brain.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. I just had this conversation yesterday with a client about veterinary nutrition. And I'll be like, I was like, we don't get a whole lot of nutrition education in school. You learn a lot as you come out. And then all of a sudden there's all these thousands of diets. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, well, crap. There's so many things out there.
Well, I do think that we did say that it's not an ingredient. Like, we don't know what it is.
That's
like,
we were talking, I was saying in general, not about last time.
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Carry on.
No. Like, for because of what the nutritionist is saying. Like, I don't want to give the impression that we said that it's only these grain-free diets. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They don't know what it is. There's no consensus as to what is causing it.
Yeah.
But the thought is to avoid them. So why are they telling us to avoid them?
Mm.
Why are the powers that be saying,
right,
listen, you should be telling your clients to avoid them? She's saying, what are we supposed to do then? Well, I'm saying, you're the nutritionist, so tell me what I'm supposed to be saying.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah.
Like, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, okay, so then what is it? What, she did not watch the whole episode, just the podcast clip I uploaded. Thanks, Harrison. But so we need to, this is really great. We need to ask if she'll be on podcast.
We need a nutritionist. Yeah. Wonder where she's based.
Let's see.
Tell us.
But myself and other commenters told her to listen to the full episode as you guys answered a few of her questions and concerns. So, okay, that's why it makes sense then, why I'm saying what I'm saying. And he's saying, oh, wait a second. She only listened to this one clip where we talked about it. But we did, because I was like, did
you
she
know,
not
it's
listen?
It's funny that because I saw that clip pop up of us saying stay away from grain-free diets. And I was like, huh, I wonder if that's going to ruffle some feathers because it's just going straight to that. And if people don't listen to the full episode, then they're not going to know why we're saying that.
Right.
It did say it. There is a lot of different.
It did ruffle some feathers. Okay, but I just love that she was willing to say something, though. So that's why, we hardly ever get to pick the brain of a veterinary nutritionist.
Yeah, we really don't.
So.
Come on.
But like, what
come
should
down
we
to the
do? They're
how
telling
we,
us that this we, leads to this, but we don't know why. So just
don't do it.
Avoid it, right? Yeah. Like, why would we say
that's
at
the thought,
your own
but
risk?
Her point is, what are you going to use for novel protein diets then? Because you don't have grain in it.
Yeah.
Or is, I think is what, and that is true. I mean, Hill's, Royal Canin, you know, they have novel protein diets. So what are we supposed to use then?
Right.
We essentially are putting them on a grain-free formula.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Is it completely grain-free?
Duck and sweet potato.
And it's completely grain-free.
Right? Yeah.
And then the blue alligator.
Right. So then she's saying, okay, but I don't think, my point is that I don't think that they know what's causing it, which is true because there's no consensus about what's causing it.
Right.
There may be some other ingredient in those diets that we aren't aware of that's causing the DCM.
It's just the,
so that's hence where avoid those diets come from, because you don't know.
Right.
These diets have not been implicated in the development of DCM because the FDA put out that entire.
Yeah, I was going to say there are certain brands. There's a whole chart that says which ones were.
Whereas these ones, what she's talking about, the novel protein diets from Hill's, Royal Canin, have not been implicated in the development of DCM.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, why people said there's something else in the ingredient list in these boutique, in these exotic diets that aren't in these other main production company diets.
I see what you're saying.
That are causing DCM.
Which is, to her point of quality control, why that's so important too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Vital Vet Nutrition, if you're listening, please call us so you can come on a podcast.
That'd
and then,
awesome.
Yeah.
Then we can pick your brain and you can help us be smarter.
Yeah. Maybe they have more research that we don't know yet or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And maybe she can help us give better, even more specific advice to our clients.
Yeah.
How to talk patients. To the clients. Yeah.
Or like give us
okay. We'll message her afterwards.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. We just want to be better.
Thanks, Harrison, for that. That was great because it had to do with our stuff we were talking about.
Yeah. Okay.
But we never did get to shout outs.
Did anyone have any?
I think we just covered it by
I do
working
too.
Together.
Yeah.
Let's all work together.
There
Thank
we go.
You,
That's it right there.
Nutritionists.
People willing to say something. That's what I'm going to support.
In a nice way.
Not being afraid of conversation.
Yeah.
Because when you contribute to the pool of meaning.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. That was inspired. Let me tell you.
I'm just saying. When everyone feels like they can contribute to the pool of meaning, you're going to have the best information and the best decisions and the best advice out there.
To make a difference.
So there we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Emily King.
There we go. Okay.
Case collections. Love this part. Who wants to go first?
I'm going
to
go first. I want to get it done or with.
Okay.
Okay.
So we had a 9-year-old male neutered golden retriever come in. He presented for lethargy and he was kind of just moving slower in the mornings, the owners had noticed. Throughout the day, he kind of picked up a little bit, went back to his normal self for the most part. And then in the mornings, he also wasn't eating super great. So his eating habits had changed. He would have to go back to the bowl multiple times to finish his meals, which was unlike him. And then they also mentioned that he was kind of limping on the front end, not sure which limb it was, but just thought they should mention it. So we started with some x-rays and we did injectably sedate him just so we could get those forelimb rads and they can be as clear as possible. So the patient's still and whatnot. And then while we're there, we decided to take some abdominal rads because of the kind of slowed down eating lethargy just to cover our bases. And we were already there. And so we did not really see much on the forelimb rads. They were pretty unremarkable for the most part. I think you elicited pain on the exam.
Yeah, it was.
I just want to make sure.
I forget which limb it was now.
It was
one
right
of the front ones.
Front.
He was uncomfortable when I picked one up and bared weight. Yeah, he had to bear weight anyway.
But the x-rays were pretty boring.
Yeah.
But then on the abdominal radiographs, my landmarks were a little too high up, so I didn't collimate the beam enough. And on the VD of the abdomen, I caught the caudal aspect of the chest on accident. And I was like, oh. Well, that's not normal. I saw like something that looked like a mass. So I called Dr. Duckwell to look at him and we decided to proceed with chest rad since once again, we were already there. And unfortunately, there was a soft tissue opacity noted in the left lung field. And so we kind of talked to the owners about it and they decided to pursue going to oncology to get a consultation because they will do anything for this dog. And so they've been there. And I think we got some, so they had a meeting with the oncologist and she actually noted 3 different masses in the chest, unfortunately. So surgery is not an option for him right now. So I think they're going to do some further testing, and then probably proceed with chemotherapy. I think just depending on, cause they're going to sample the masses to determine the type of cancer, and do some other workup things to see if it's spread anywhere else. And so we're kind of just waiting on more tests and to see the plan. And then I also wanted to note that this dog does have a history of mast cell tumors. They have been removed, but I mean, that could have been the cause. I'm not sure. And then he also has a cough that comes and goes for the past, I think, few months. Okay. It wasn't anything intense, but he does cough every once in a while.
Yeah, he had 2 cutaneous low grade mast cell tumors removed last November.
Mm-hmm.
This coughing kind of hack's been going on, I think, for about a year. Dr. McDivitt was kind of on the forefront of this, and I just met this dog with the limping and kind of transformed into this.
Oh, but I didn't know the coughing was a year. I didn't see that part.
Yeah, they were kind of working through it. And then the oncologist gave me a call yesterday, 2 days ago, and said that because there was 2 questionable ones. One was a very large one.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was like actually in the same area as where he had an external lipoma, but obviously, looking at the body wall and stuff, it looked like it was more inside the chest.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately, we had talked through like, yeah, surgery is, if there's one and they can resect it, that's an option. But now it's not so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll see what
but
it
hopefully
comes back
chemo
as.
Will help.
Yeah.
If they're able to do it, depending, like I said, if it's spread or metastasized or what stage and whatnot.
Yep.
Either way, we caught it a little bit earlier than we would have. So.
Yeah,
I caught it on accident.
That
it
happens. We've talked about that before, where
finding.
Somebody comes in for something and you find something else, you know, and it's like such luck that they came in for some other problem, but you were able to find, a more pressing issue.
Yeah, if I would have collimated just a smidge, I would have missed it.
And we would have never, wasn't me doing my job to the best of my ability, but
I know.
Yeah.
That so actually reminds me of Oliver. Maybe I should switch my case.
What?
To Oliver.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Do it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it just, this dog came in for a skin issue, just a simple bald spot on his back. It had been there for a couple weeks. He works alongside a neurologist because he has seizures. He has a history of hepatopathy, elevated liver values, very high, like ALP is like 4,500. It's been worked up by us, but I don't remember. It was a different colleague, but nothing major. And then he's had his spleen removed. He's had a splenectomy and he has heart disease.
He's been through it.
Mm-hmm. And cherry eye surgery also, now that I think about
recently. Wasn't that like a year ago? Maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, this owner's phenomenal.
Yeah.
She's like on point with her dog, knows when he's off. And so just came in for this, again, this essentially bald spot. It wasn't crusty. It wasn't red. It was not bothersome to him. So we, the neurologist was like, I think it's probably more of a like maybe Cushing's or hormonal issue. So follow up with primary care. So we were like, oh, yeah, we're talking about maybe Cushing's because of his liver stuff, too. And so we're kind of discussing on working that up again because he had tested negative for it a year ago, and just kind of finishing my exam. And I was like, huh, there's a bruise right here. That's weird. So I'm like, I'm just going to keep looking, not say anything at quite yet. I'm going to look and see if there's any more. Open up his mouth. He's got petechia, which is all over his gums. He's got bleeding in his mouth from his gingiva. And then there's just more bruising on his body.
Yeah.
And I was like, calmly, I'm like, okay, so we have this spot here. Did you notice this before? And she said, no, I haven't noticed it. And long story short, we did blood work and this dog had 8,000 platelets. And if you're listening, your jaws probably dropped to the ground because you worry about spontaneous bleeding when they're less than 50,000 or is it 25,000?
I think it's 25.
25,000. And then the low end of the range that you want to have is like 148,000. Mm-hmm. So he had 8,000 or 5,000 or something. Mm-hmm. And so long story short, we proceeded to continue the workup. He also had anemia, which was regenerative at the time. So I was worried about either blood loss or blood destruction, but the rest of his blood work didn't really fit at the time with some, at least intravascular destruction, where we would see maybe some, intravascular. So bilirubin wasn't high, things like that. So we started on high immunosuppressive dose of prednisone. We could not collect safely enough blood to submit a tick-borne panel due to, collecting blood for the normal panel, and then we needed more for the tick, and then he was bruising. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, we just started on doxycycline to cover our bases, and then started mycophenolate, another immunosuppressive, and then also clopidogrel to help with, hopefully, no clots forming with those platelets. And he came in the next day to make sure the swelling in his limbs had gone down because he had some hematomas, and they did. I saw him again yesterday, which was 2 days after diagnosis of suspected ITP, I should say, because the owner was concerned he was acting off, panting. And thankfully, we just ran a PCV TP because it was too early to recheck platelet values. And his anemia level was a little bit lower, but like not concerning. It went from 30% to 26%. And there was no free fluid in his abdomen or chest. And his gums were actually like a light pink. And the petechia on his gums had started to improve.
Good.
So we're checking his platelet values tomorrow. And we're going to kind of go from there. History-wise, drug-wise, he's on potassium bromide and Keppra for seizures. And that's it, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So I don't really know what the inciting cause was still. And I told her that. I don't have an answer yet, because we did run the Coombs test to look and see if there was at least IMHA, and it was negative. So
you also did a fast scan, ultrasound.
Yeah, there was no free fluid.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. I don't know the cause.
Yeah,
poor guy
hadn't gotten into anything.
He's been through it.
Yeah,
how old is he? Do you know?
He's only nine.
Yeah. He's only nine,
and he's a Shih Tzu, I think.
Yeah.
So
he was super happy yesterday.
Yeah, he's stable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll say that.
Yeah. It's very cute. Where'd you find the first bruise? I was curious.
On his belly. Never asked. Yeah. Because he's dark a black dog. And yeah. I mean, yeah. So you have to, yeah, look at those.
You would have had to like really get in. He's a little heavier and he's kind of low to the ground. So you'd have to be like,
get under his face.
Like really got to get in there.
Yeah.
To be continued.
To be continued. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Okay. Well, mine is kind of short and sweet. We had a client bring in their new kitten.
It's a good one.
Bring in their new kitten just to establish care, but mainly to get some confirmation on its breed. They had paid $700 for what they thought was going to be a male Maine Coon kitten. But they had their suspicions. So they brought the kitten in. It's a Dr. Ham patient. She went in and the first thing she noticed is that it's not a Maine Coon. It's like a tabby kitten, which don't get me wrong, is adorable, but it's just like a light brown with some orange mixed
1 pound
tabby.
Maine Coons are never 1 pound.
It's teeny tiny.
Okay.
And then she got into her exam and then the next thing she realized is that it's a female instead of male. So here we have the $700 female tabby kitten that they thought was going to be a male Maine Coon.
Oh, my gosh.
And the owners were obviously disappointed just with the breeder or wherever they got the kitten from, because they already had like 2 or 3 domestic short hairs in the house and they wanted to save that last spot for the breed they wanted, a Maine Coon. So they were just discussing how they might like reach out to family, friends, see if anyone wanted the kitten.
There's $700 kitten.
Yes, yeah. For real.
That you could have found on the street or the humane society for $10.
But one of our coworkers actually just moved into her own place and she needed a friend. So she took the kitten in.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
She's part of the family. But yeah, $700. Tabby kitten.
Oh my god.
Well, and it's
gracious.
Just disappointing because I guess they were told that the hair that the Maine Coons have, like, you know, distinct out of their ears and stuff, mm-hmm. comes in later on in life.
Yeah.
And then also it was a male, but the male parts are folded in up on themselves and cats.
Okay, you know what? I have seen so many situations of the scamming with pets, purchasing of pets, and
really?
It started like the tail end of COVID when everybody was, you know, acquiring animals. And there were so many instances of fake like websites where they would collect deposits and they would not be.
Oh, yeah. It happened. I saw a lot,
like
too.
A ton of it.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable that people are just like.
And they would send you pictures of the puppies and everything. You put down your deposit and then you never get your dog.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I saw that.
Oh, shouldn't that be legal?
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Well, and then not to mention that all the animals, you know, that are.
Yeah.
Whatever, miscategorized and then not wanted or whatever.
Yeah.
I hope those people don't scam anybody else and get somebody else's hopes up.
I hope they get a male Maine Coon kitten.
I do too.
Yeah. I hope they do too.
We should put them in touch with the Snyders.
Yep.
We should have told them that. Give them their breeder
Find
contact
them somebody.
Info.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they have beautiful Maine Coons.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very cool. I'm going to give my case. I was going to do a case, but I'm going to do it instead so we don't spend too much time. I'm going to do a case that, well, brought to mind, I can't talk. The case of a case of a case. Yeah. No, we had a shout out on social media about a cat that had eaten a foreign body that was...
I thought it was a dog.
It was a dog.
Oh, it was a dog, sorry. My case is a cat, but that did it. But that Courtney and I were talking about before the podcast started. She sent a picture in of the dog who ate all of these... hair bands, right? Basically.
Yep.
Like gobs and gobs of them.
Threw up 15
and then still had to have surgery.
Yes.
To remove another 50.
55. Yeah. 55. Yes.
Oh my god.
55 balled
up. So grand total of 70 hair ties. I don't even own 70 hair ties.
Wow.
I know. Did they just keep buying more because they couldn't find them?
They couldn't find them. The cat that I saw that we ended up doing surgery on ended up with like 20 of the rubber hair ties. Yeah. And his stomach was so hard, you could feel it on the outside of his abdomen.
Wow.
So like, when you were palpating his abdomen, it felt corrugated.
Wow.
It was the strain. And so it was distended when we went in to do surgery. I mean, it was just full.
Mm-hmm.
And he just pulled them out.
I'm so lucky my cats are not like that.
Knock on wood.
I know. Is there wood?
I'll be honest, at first when I saw the picture, I didn't read it. I just saw the picture and I was like, oh, it's just it's an obstruction of parasites. Because that's also a thing. If they get obstructed from adult parasites.
Yeah. So gross.
And the hard thing too, one reason why I was going to bring up cats is that it's hard to make them vomit.
Mm.
Like they don't usually vomit. You can try, but they're kind of like.
We talked about that last podcast.
Yeah, when we
horses.
Like spun it
Did
around.
We talk about Yeah.
Well, Dudley's patient, they like sat on a spinning chair and spun around and.
Tried to make it vomit.
Yeah. Didn't work.
So,
cats don't. Yeah, cats don't.
They just
vomit.
Don't like to.
Nope.
So
what's
anyway,
the stubborn. You can give
thank
them?
You for sending that.
Yeah.
We use Dextomator.
Just okay.
Dextomidine yeah. to try, but
yeah.
yeah.
It doesn't work a lot of
it
the time.
Work.
Nope.
Doesn't work. So you usually go scoping if you can, or yeah. pray, or surgery.
Or surgery.
Pray.
I pray for you.
Okay, let's go to listener questions. What are your thoughts on the new monoclonal parvo antibodies? What's your clinic go-to parvo treatment? At B-Rat.
Brat.
Brat. Okay, I love the monoclonal antibody stuff. I love that they're coming out with it. Mm-hmm. Not just this drug, all of it. Yep. I love all of it. Every mm-hmm. single bit of it.
We haven't had to use it yet, no?
No.
No. It's not parvo season.
Wait, right. Are we talking about Panaquil?
No, that's pancreatitis. Pancreatitis. Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. But the monoclonal antibody for parvo is C, I think that is it. Canine parvo monoclonal.
It's almost parvo.
CPMA.
What's it called? Yeah.
CPMA.
Okay.
Because it's on like conditional approval.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So
I guess I was thinking pancreatitis when I read that.
Yeah. So you can order it, but that will be, I think that will be the go-to treatment.
I do too. I think we just had the rep talk to us about it and just hearing, I don't remember the stats and I don't want to say the wrong thing, but basically it was impressive how they treated in their studies with just that. Mm-hmm. And then I don't remember the timeline, but they were able to improve and do fine without any additional treatment. So
and I think the cool thing is that if you have a lot of times, unfortunately, when we're talking about treating parvo cases, it's so expensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so being able to the people that are having difficulty from a financial perspective, affording treatment for their dog, their puppy, being able to even just a shot in the dark, like you're giving this one, this is it. Like, I'm going to spend my money on this.
Yep.
And keep my fingers crossed. And those patients, I think, will be able to help a lot better than what we currently were. So, like, our previous treatment was a combination of hospitalization with IV fluids, antibiotics, anti-nausea medication, sometimes pain medication.
Right.
Am I missing anything?
Well, if it's, you can also do outpatient if the case isn't severe.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that?
No, I'm just thinking of the feeding, but usually we never had to do any, like, tube feeding or anything.
Yeah.
Which you just have good. To get them feeling well enough to eat.
So it's just like one IV injection?
And keep stuff down.
How long is it supposed to take effect?
Well, it binds, right, to the site. So it keeps the parvo from entering the cell. So
yeah, so you have to also get it at a
you don't
the
want
right
it,
time.
Right. Like if your dog has been sick for 4 days, I don't think that's going to be an ideal situation.
Sure. Yeah.
The beginning.
It would be great for a litter of puppies where a dog tested positive and then you've got these other puppies.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be giving it to all of them,
yeah.
You know? And so I think that's well, at least when I was reading is that it binds to the site to keep the parvovirus from going into the cell.
Okay. Huh. So if a puppy comes in and they've been vomiting and having bloody diarrhea, do you give it to them? Or does it just depend on case by case?
I think you would still test for parvo.
Like and then if it, if the dog's super, super sick, you wouldn't recommend it?
No, I think they would still do it. I think it's just more.
Oh, I see.
I think
it's
more,
then
more
you
efficacious.
Have to, okay.
In,
I gotcha.
Yeah.
You know, it's more likely to, because you already have, because with parvovirus, you're not, when we're treating them, historically, when we've treated them, we're not treating the virus. We're treating the secondary symptoms that the virus is causing, and we're letting the virus run its course, right? So that's already happening in that dog that's 3 to 4 to 5 days into the virus. All those secondary things are happening. So giving the drug, the monoclonal antibody, which is to keep the virus from doing what it's supposed to do, is the train's already down the track.
I see.
So you can't, it's hard to slow it down.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they say the sooner you can give it, the better off you are, you know, with those patients. Mm-hmm. But would I still use it? Probably.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to hurt anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder how much it'll be.
It's for 8 weeks and older. Not that I wouldn't use it off label in somebody under 8 weeks. It's supposed to be 8 weeks and older.
Yeah.
It's actually not cost prohibitive.
Good.
So, I mean, it's not like $50. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I think
if it works, it's better than $600.
Not like Panaquil.
I'm sorry.
It's not like Panaquil. Like Panaquil is like.
Panaquil
is also multiple doses.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You have to use the vial and it's 3 consecutive doses. Mm-hmm. So
you have to give
that's
it
where,
multiple times in a row.
Yeah. You can't
it'll
just
be interesting.
It's not seal one it away. Done. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's going to be huge for different parts of the country.
Yeah.
know, where they do, or rescues or shelters where then it spreads in a, you could really, it could make a huge difference for those guys.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Yeah. I want to try it.
I think it's
we have it. It's got, the great thing if you're listening is it's got like a really long expiration. Mm-hmm. So you can order it. And I think it's like either a 2 or 3 year expiration date.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Yeah. So you're not out the product if you order it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have it.
What we did was we told the surrounding clinics that we had it. So they didn't order it. So then between the three of us, then we probably will use it.
Yeah.
So it's almost parvo season.
Yeah. It is. It's almost warming up.
Yeah.
We're ready.
Not this week.
Not that we want that. But... I know.
So I think that with fluids, anti-nausea meds.
Yeah.
Probably would be the treatment.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
I do remember the representative saying that you still would continue your vaccine series, though, with your DAPP for your puppies and stuff. So.
Yeah.
I mean, because obviously they need the other parts of the vaccine as well.
Right.
They don't just need the parvo vaccine.
Yeah.
so, yeah. More I think you said, what's your clinic go-to parvo treatment? So fluid therapy, Serenia, ondansetron, if we need that too. AD. I mean, you got to get a meeting as soon as possible to get the gut happy. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. So, yeah, these new products that are coming out are just amazing. Okay, what you got?
We have more breaking news. This is distracting.
It says, many people have inquired about CPMA and said it's worked wonders. Many of the pet owner inquiries were concerned about cost of it.
I think that so if you're going to hospitalize a dog for parvo, it's going to save you money.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
agreed.
You know, because you're spending money one way or another. You're either spending money on all these other things, or you're spending money on the CPMA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you use the CPMA.
Use the money wisely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. Agreed. Okay.
So cool. There's so many cool things.
Go VetMed.
Yes.
Innovation. That's a shout out.
What'd you say?
I said that's a shout out.
That's a shout out.
VetMed growing.
VetMed growing. That's growing. Right.
Changing every day. Is it USA it. Only? Is it only in the USA?
Is it only in the USA? Unlikely. I would have to look.
It. I
would have to double check
Europe
everything.
Before it got
That's
here.
What I was going to say. It's always in Europe before it ever here.
Librela was.
Yeah, things Librela are always
in
over there.
Before here.
I think the restrictions are just, it's just softer restrictions.
Yeah.
So the FDA, I think that's the way it goes.
That was more breaking news.
More breaking news.
Wow.
Is the breaking news over?
Yeah, this is stressful. We need a better system for breaking news.
It needs to flash up on the screen.
We need earpieces.
We need earpieces. Oh, yeah, there we go. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
Wait, breaking news.
Wait, I'm getting something. Hold on one second. What?
We're going to turn into a news station.
Harrison from the studio.
Well, I think in all, this was a great podcast because we got some feedback.
We got, don't give away the answer.
We discussed nutrition things, so we're gonna follow up on that. Rick,
lots of new
Ricky
new stuff
gave us some input.
Thank you, Ricky.
Or experiences. Discuss the parvo drug. Anything else? I feel like it was a big day.
It was
Dr. King and I are going to bingo.
We're going to bag bingo, baby. Look
with
out.
Some bags.
This does not compare at all, but I've been missing my favorite chapstick for the past 2 months, and I found it today in the pocket of one of my jackets.
There we go.
So
that's like when you put
day.
On an old jacket and you find $20 in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is excellent.
Yeah,
it's going to be a good day.
That's
about,
a way to end
you,
the podcast.
Dogwell? Anything?
I'm going to a baby sale clothing thing tonight.
There you
baby
go.
Sale.
A baby sale.
Not a baby sale. A baby clothing sale.
Okay.
Wow. She's got her new slippers on.
All right, everybody.
All right, let's leave. Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of the Veterinary Roundtable. Remember, send in those questions and leave us a review if you've enjoyed this episode or previous one. We'll see you next week for another episode of the Veterinary Roundtable.
Thank you very much.